Well, before we begin our Torah study tonight, let's pray together. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. When you want to go forward, and by the way, what is the word for forward in Hebrew? Kadima, that's right. When kadima is the direction that you want to go in, it's really important to remember how God has led you so far. It's important to remember that it's taken a lot of steps and a lot of time to get from where you were to where you are. And I want to encourage you now, as we are reading this weekend from the last readings in the book of Numbers, to turn to Numbers 33 with me. And we are going to absorb ourselves in two verses. This is Parshat Maaseh, which Maaseh means stages, and it refers to the stages or the segments of the travels, the journey of the children of Israel. So starting in Numbers 33, verse 1, it says, "These are the stages of the journey of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are the journeys according to their starting points." And then it continues, and it names every single segment that the children of Israel made. Now, one of the things that I noticed in this is that it's covering these minute details and reminding us that the journey was something that the children of Israel were on, but they were not leading themselves. Who was leading them? The Lord. That's right. And how did they know when it was time to move? God moved. That's right. So the people moved when God moved. But what if they really liked the place they were in? They still moved, right? What if they didn't like it? They moved. What if they'd been there a long time? They moved. What if they had just been there a short time? They moved. You see, what was happening with the children of Israel was very simple but profound. They were being led by the Lord, by the presence of the Lord. And they were being accompanied by the Lord. And this becomes a picture for what it means to walk with God. It literally means to walk with God. So you go on a journey, you go on a walk with the Lord, you go from here to there. But you don't just go on your own direction, you go under his leadership. In fact, to repent in Hebrew means to turn around. The idea is you've been going in another direction, the wrong direction. What makes it wrong? You're leading yourself. You turn around, you focus on the Lord, you're confronted with your own independence, confronted with the fact you've been doing things your way, not his way. Confronted with the sin that's been manifest, and you see this huge gap, and in seeing that, you say, "Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble." And he says, "No, now you're finally getting out of trouble because you're turning to me. But I have no sacrifice to cover my sins." That's where Yeshua comes in. He's the sacrifice. And so the dilemma is solved in this way. By turning to God and following him, you have the means of walking with God and the ability, because of God's mercy and his provision of a sacrifice, to cover your sins so that you're not tormented by them, haunted by them, or separated by them. So there's a picture here that the children of Israel are walking with God. Now ask yourself this question: did they walk with God perfectly? No, they didn't. And you know what? The scripture teaches us they are an example for us. Guess what? We don't either. And we see in the life of the children of Israel examples of what does it mean to stumble? What does it mean to to struggle with God? What does it mean to want to be with him, but then to go in another direction? And what does it take to put things right? Now, I have noticed something, that as people are moving forward, some people are still trying to look backwards in the wrong way. They have deep regrets about the past, and so they're haunted by the past, or they're still living in the past rather than moving from that past experience into the future that you have. So are we just to forget the past and put it behind us? No. We're to look at it through the eyes that God gives us as redeemed people who have been shown mercy and shown his love. And so I want to encourage you to do something, and that's to remember your own journey. To remember where you were and how God reached you and how he brought you into a life with him. One of the things I love about Passover is that we all say we were slaves. And we say that's who we were. We were slaves. We were slaves. You were a slave. I was a slave. And we also say then, but God brought me out by his mighty hand. How did I get out? Through the mighty hand of God. Now, when I think about Yeshua, I think the same thing. We're all slaves. We have all been slaves to sin. We have all gone our own way. And yet, the Lord has brought us out of slavery, and he wants to bring us out of slavery. Imagine if you could get out of any bad habit that you have. How many of you would like to be like me, get out of some bad habits? Okay, I'm not alone. God is a God of freedom. He wants to give us more freedom, not less. But the freedom he wants to give us is the freedom that sets us free from sin. It sets us free from addictions. It sets us free from bad habits. It sets us free from anything that separates us from God. And he wants to bring us close to him so that we have freedom to serve him. What if everything the Lord wanted you to do today, you were able to do? What if tomorrow morning you could wake up and you had this sense, I know what God wants from me, and you did it, and you went to bed that night saying, what a great day. It was so fantastic. You see, this is what's in front of us. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, know your journey. It may have some ugly parts to it, but I hope you're not stuck in those ugly parts. It may have some chapters or from some stages where you're really glad you got yourself through that and you made it. Maybe you weren't sure you were going to make it. But I want you to remember your journey. Now, sometimes when people are moving forward with God, or they're just moving forward in general, and they finally have a breakthrough and they come into a new place, they look back at everything in their past and they despise it in the wrong way. And they repudiate it. Like, well, I'm glad I'm finished with that. They look down on anyone who's still in what they were in. And yet, I believe that everything that God has brought us through can be useful. And that he wants us to look with appreciation, because you know what? Every step you took, every stage in your journey is what's gotten you here. It's gotten you this far. And if you can appreciate that God has been with you, it will make a big difference. And so you celebrate the ways that God has worked in your life. And you begin to cultivate your faith when you remember what God has done. And when you tell other people what God has done for you. The scripture says the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. But I've noticed something. When one person tells another person how they saw God working in their life, it's like the word of the Lord comes to the hearer. And the person who hears is filled with faith. You see, when you and I read the scriptures, this happens to us. We see how faithful people were touched by God, and it has an impact on us, and it makes us want to be moving forward ourselves. When we can say, God led us, he led us this way, or he led us that way, it builds our faith, it builds the faith of other people. We had found an apartment for the Korshans. Rabbi Yuri, his wife Ina, and their son David are in the process of coming to America in order to join the ministry team here at Beth Israel. And we found an apartment that they liked back in November, and we knew that when all the paperwork was cleared and they could come here, this is the place for them to come to. We were very excited about it. It seemed like we were ahead of the planning curve because we knew where they were going to come and they could have it in their mind. But you know what? Just a few weeks ago, we found out that that complex has problems with bed bugs. Uh-huh. And I remember my first feeling was, oh no, what are we going to do? And then the Holy Spirit said, give thanks. That's what you'll do. Give thanks that you're spared putting them in such a place. And I thought, oh, Lord, you're merciful. But that created a new dilemma. Okay, I'm giving thanks, but we still don't have a place. And we started looking for places. Some of the places that were interesting, they were grabbed like within a few hours or a day of having been listed. It was challenging, wasn't it, Jaron? There were moments like, so what's going to happen? Well, last week, I think it was, Amber Burke had a dream. And in the dream, tell me, Amber, if I get this right, you understood from the Lord that we would find the place for the Korshans to live on that day. Is that correct? Yeah, so we didn't know this at the moment, but Sandy and I were driving around looking at places and trying to find signs that weren't listed on the internet. You know, we're all searching on the internet, but we're driving in some neighborhoods, and we see this one sign at the corner of a street, and I drove by it, and Sandy said, turn around and go there. And my first response was, we don't even know what that sign is for. We'll look it up on the internet. She said, we're right here. And so we turned around and we went just a few houses down. We saw a house and it looked really good. So we took some pictures, sent them to Jared, and shortly after that, Jared contacts the owner and has an appointment to go see it, you know, within minutes, it seemed. Because we didn't know that Amber had had this dream and that something was at work. So he goes, and while he's there, he texts us and says, are you guys available? I'd like to come over and talk to you about the apartment, or the house. And we're thinking, wow, this is serious. So he comes over, and he says, I think this is it. And we talk through details. We get more pictures. And you know what? We agreed. This is the place. And so it was a simple thing. It wasn't spooky. It wasn't that kind of supernatural awesome where you say, wow. It was normal supernatural awesome. Where you understand the Holy Spirit wants to do something and he doesn't want you to waste your time. And so he leads you and you take the steps and everything, as we can see, works for good. And so we're rejoicing. We're rejoicing in this. And a few weeks ago when we had Rabbi Victor and Valensky and his family here, we had some time with the elders and a few others Saturday night praying for the Valenskys. And during that time, one of our elders, Rick Gray, was recounting to Rabbi Victor one of the great joys that we had experienced together, Rick and I had experienced. There was a certain moment, if you remember back in March, when Russia was in the process of taking over Crimea, where Rabbi Victor lives. And we understood that it was a dangerous situation. We understood that there would be a time, perhaps, when people would have to decide, do they stay or do they go? Could there be war on the ground there? Would it be that dangerous? And we understood that everything was so unstable, we needed to provide some financial help for the Messianic, a few of the congregations and some of the leaders and their families who are close to us. And so a number of people came together and we had some money that we were able to send to them, but the question was how to get it to them in such a difficult time, because it looked like there was no way to get the money. The banks were shutting down. Money wasn't being transferred into Crimea. And it was quite complicated. Well, there was a certain moment, Rick and I were together and we were talking together, and we had the money, but the question was, could we get it to Rabbi Victor? And so we're texting back and forth with Crimea at this moment. Can we send it to you in your town, Yevpatoria? And he writes back, none of the banks in Yevpatoria have any money. So no, you can't. And so I remember there was a certain moment when he said, there may be money in this other city. And it was close to 2 hours away, something like that? Almost 2 hours away. And I was being cautious, and I said, listen, when we know we can send it to that city, I'll let you know. And he writes back and he says, it will not be a tragedy if I get to the city and the money is not there. But there is no money here. And so he said, so I will go there, and if there is no money, there is no money. But if there is. And so I look at this and I turn to Rick and I said, we got to get the money there in time. You see, he knew he would get to that city with something like 30 to 15 minutes to spare before the banks would close on that day. And so I remember running to the banks, running to figure out how can we get it in time. We had to use Western Union, which I don't usually like to use. But we found a way to transfer the money. And I remember I'm looking at my watch and I'm thinking, what time is it now? What time is it here? What time is it there? And the clock is ticking. It's like 4:45 p.m. their time. And we're trying to get it to them. And I think it was 5 minutes till five when the bank would close at five. And the money arrived to the bank there, and you know, or notification. And so they gave him the money like at 5 minutes till five. And so he writes back, we're texting, you know, it's a modern world. He writes back, I just got the money. And then he said, it was a small miracle. So, of course, I wanted to know, what's the small miracle? So after he caught his breath and we could communicate again, he said, when I went there, I didn't know if they really would have dollars to give to us. You see, the Ukrainian currency was so, it was just losing all of its value during those days. And so it was of no use. And dollars were the only thing that were stable that they could use safely. And so he had found this one bank in this one city that said they might have money. Now, the actual story is this. Someone in that city had ordered money in advance to be ready on that day. But they didn't come. And they didn't come. And then some point in the day, they said, we're not coming. And that's when Victor showed up. And had it gone differently, it would have been a whole different story. But he gets there. The money is there waiting for him. And he takes it. And you know what? The next day, the banks all shut down. And that was the end of being able to transfer money into Crimea. That was the last moment when it could be done. Do you know how encouraging it was for us? Because Rabbi Victor was, he was walking in the faith that God gave him. And he was weighing things out. And sometimes faith works like this. Lord, what do I do? And the Lord says, go. But, have you ever said but to the Lord? And he says, well, get off your butts with me and just trust me. But have there been times when you've tried to argue with the Lord? I have. I've said, Lord, have you thought about this and this? And of course he has. But there are times when the Lord will say, get up, go. But it's 2 hours. How can I be sure? Go. But, go. And you know what? If you allow faith to work in you and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, those little moments of guidance from him become breakthroughs for you. And they become answers for you, and you learn something. You can hear from the Lord. You learn something. You may not always be right, but he's always right. You learn something. He knows how to lead you and how to take you somewhere, and you learn something else. He'll put other people in your path and in your life who will help you if you'll walk in obedience to him. I don't think it was easy for God to get those dollars to that city bank in Crimea. When you think of all the organizing he had to do, just think about it. He worked it out in kind of mysterious ways. Maybe it's finding a house. Maybe it's you get some bad news, bed bugs. And you start saying, hallelujah, I'm out of here. Maybe there's no provision where you're looking. I think Peter had that experience, didn't he? Some of the disciples, we fished all night. There's nothing here. There's nothing. And Yeshua says, how about on the other side of the boat? Same sea, same water, same guys. Hey, you got to be kidding. You don't even fish for a living. What do you know? You're a carpenter. What do carpenters know about fishing? Try the other side. That's where it was. You see, God knows how to do that. That's why you may be in an unpleasant place for a long time, and then the Lord will say, we're going. If you thought you were stuck there, now you're unstuck. Don't act stuck. Or it may have been a wonderful place, and you're thinking, this is so wonderful, I don't want to trade it for anything. But remember this, the Lord knows the next wonderful place for you. The next wonderful situation. And as you're walking forward with him, you're going to experience his power and you're going to experience the blessings. It should be part of normal life that you pray and God answers you, that you have breakthroughs of different kinds, and that you see God's hand at work in your life, and that there is victory. James, Yaakov, put it this way. James chapter 5, verse 16. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then he compares it to Elijah who prayed. The fervent prayer or the earnest prayer. The Greek is really interesting. You can almost translate it this way, the energetic prayer, but that doesn't quite capture it. The prayer that's at work, the active prayer, What is that prayer? It's a prayer that's born of faith that says, Lord, I'm trusting you. Bed bugs over here. Must be a good future over here without bed bugs, right? No money over here. No money over there. No money over there. Maybe money over there. I'm going over there. Trusting God. The prayer that's born of trusting Him and saying, Lord, I trust you. And that has its origins in the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is saying, you can trust me. Believe me now. Come with me. Walk with me. The Spirit of God will lead you to pray, and He'll put in your heart things. He'll open up to your understanding, and He will bring you into the place of blessing. And I can tell you this, there are some blessings that we will only receive after we're in just a little bit over our head. After we find ourselves in a situation that's just bigger than us. Anybody got a situation like that? It's just a little bit bigger than you. You know, if you're drowning and your nose is covered with water, you can drown. It can be 10 feet above your head or 1 inch above your nose. But if you're underwater, you're underwater. Isn't that right? And you know what's beautiful? If the water comes down just below your nose, you're not drowning anymore. If you can start swimming, if you can just get your head above water. But I tell you this, there's sometimes when God seems to lead us into situations and through situations that are just beyond our ability, our resources, our strength, our power. Can you identify with that? I thought I could handle it. I couldn't. I thought I knew what to do. I didn't. I kept going, and then I ran out. And there's a moment when you cry out to the Lord, and you say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. And that's when He says, good. That's right. Now I can really help you. When you put your trust in Him, when you have that confidence, when you say, Lord, I'm going to follow you, you can lead me, it will lead you to one more statement. I want everything that God has for me. When you can say that, Lord, whatever you have, I want to say yes to it. When you want to bring me into more than I could have asked or imagined, I want to say yes. But what if that involves more discipline? What if that involves more commitment? What if that involves more faith? Yes, Lord. What if that involves more dependence on God? Yes, Lord. I don't know about you, but I do know about me. A long time ago, I said to the Lord, I want everything you've got for me. How about you? Can you join me in saying that to the Lord? I want everything you've got for me. There are times when I said that naively. Now it's less naive. I understand that some of the things God has for me will come at a price for me. They'll require more from me in order to get that much more from Him. But I still say, I want it all from you. Whenever we finish reading a book from Torah, the Jewish people have the habit of saying three words in Hebrew. I'll call them out. You repeat them to me. Chazak. Chazak. Vanit chazek. And this is what it translates into. Be strong. Come on, tell somebody sitting next to you. Be strong. Be strong. And let us strengthen one another. So this is the final reading for Numbers. Chazak, chazak, venit chazak. Be strong, Be strong and let us strengthen one another. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're the God who breaks through. You're the God who has led us on a journey, and we're pleased with your leadership, Lord. We're thanking you for all the stages of the journey, even the ones that were painful. Even the times when we were crying and suffering, because you were still with us, leading us faithfully. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us to this time, this good time with you, this important time in the history of the world, in your times and seasons, in your appointed time. We say thank you, Lord, that we can live during this appointed time. We want to live with you and for you, to go with you as you lead us. We pray this in the name of Yeshua, who ascended to heaven in order to send his Holy Spirit to us, that all of us could be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And as you do, I just want to encourage you to be praying for, among other people, the Dutch. We were in contact with some friends of ours from the Netherlands this week when we saw that the day of mourning was in Holland for those who had died in the Malaysian air shoot down, that it was going into Hilversum, and we knew friends there, and so we were in contact with them. And it was just terrible, really, to hear of the loss that is so personal right now. Our friends of ours, they know three complete families that were killed, that were on the plane, that were their children's friends. And they said, there's not a person in Holland who hasn't lost someone directly or close to them. And the entire country is in mourning. And so our hearts just go out to them. It's a small country. Lord, we lift up the Dutch to you. And we pray, Lord, for your comfort during this difficult time. We pray that you would give them fortitude and strength, that they would understand the times that they're in. And Lord, I pray that they would stand not only in this situation, but they would stand also with the Jewish people in Israel during their difficult times. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha, yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep watch over you and protect you, the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the absolute Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.